so you're retired. I go, I don't think I am. I enjoy what I'm doing, but you can do it as a hobby because self-publishing can be accomplished with fairly little financial commitment. But if you want to sell the book and you want to make a second or third career out of it, it takes time. But it's your own time and it's just you and you don't have employees, you don't have payroll, and you don't have office rent. So it's a great way to retire.
Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. An Australian look at reinventing yourself for retirement and getting yourself retirement ready. It's always fascinating getting to know what people are getting up to in retirement, how they are supplementing their incomes, pensions, where they have chosen to live, how they are filling their time, what charities they are supporting, and what adventures they are having. Anne will also talk to experts in their fields, including investing, health, estate planning, financial advisors, and seniors' health care.
Hi, welcome back to the Retire Well, Retire Happy show with your host, Annie Nelson. And today we have a special guest, a Southern storyteller, Paul Attaway.
Thank you, Anne. Pleasure to be here.
Now, Paul was born and raised in Atlanta, Georgia area. Paul and his wife, Lynn, met in college at Georgetown University and were married after Paul graduated from the University of Georgia School of Law. They moved to Phoenix, Arizona in 1988, where Paul embarked on a short legal career before starting a 30-year business career before retiring so he could write fiction. Paul and Lynn raised three children together in Phoenix and now split their time between Phoenix, Arizona, and Charleston, South Carolina. And more recently, McCall in Idaho. Blood in the Country is Paul Attaway's debut novel. Writing this book along with the move to Charleston is a coming home of sorts, a return to the South. Paul is busy writing his second book, immersing himself in Charleston and defining what it means to be a writer. It's great that you finally found your passion. It's taken a long time.
Yeah, I'm afraid it has. There was passion along the way. There were a lot of things that I did that I enjoyed, but I found that oftentimes that passion turned into more of a demand on my time, and the passion didn't always hold, and things quickly became jobs. So far, so good with the writing career. I still enjoy it very much.
And that's a trap that we all fall into. I wonder if we did a survey, how many people could say that they actually love what they do, what they're doing to bring home the bacon or bring home the money to set themselves up and pay for the bills.
I would imagine it was a pretty low number.
Yeah. So what got you into writing? How did you find that niche?
Well, there's two answers to that question. I had always written. I joked that I learned to write in law school. That's where my writing skills improved greatly. And then in my very short legal career, of course, you're always writing. And then in my longer business career, I wrote a great deal of the material our companies needed, whether that was sales and marketing material or offering memorandums, installation instructions for whatever it is we were doing. So website content. So I was always writing. And so I was always trying to reach an audience. So the writing as a skill set, I guess I've always used. Writing fiction, however, was entirely different, where you have to engineer a story and come up with characters and a plot line, and it has to work, et cetera. And I started, you know, my wife and I have always enjoyed reading. And sometimes I would finish a book and I'd go, God, what a great book. And other times I'd finish a book and I go, that wasn't so good. I could do better than that. And I joked that my wife got sick and tired of hearing me say that. And she finally said, well, why don't you either write this book or just, you know, move on and talk about something else? So I was between consulting projects. I just finished one up and I had a little time. And I said, I'm going to try to write a book. And I set out on the process of trying to figure out how to write a book. And so it kind of got started in that manner. And I read a lot of books and I read a lot of blogs on how to write a book. And it's basically you jump in and you don't know how to swim and you flail around until you figure it out.
It's a mammoth task. I do know a couple of self-published authors, and it's a very dedicated person that goes down this path. Because like you were saying, it's not just about crafting a novel either, is it? There's a whole lot of other stuff that you have to attend to as well.
Well, absolutely. Once I finished the manuscript, then I found an editor and went through that process. And that was fun. I enjoyed that. But then all of a sudden, then we had to come up with a cover design. We had to come up with a name for the book. And it was difficult to do. To come up with something that would grab a reader's attention quickly and get them to pick up the book and read the description and say, okay, I want to buy this book. And so then you go through that and you get the book uploaded to Amazon and a few other platforms. And now you have to sell the book. And that is an entirely different task. It's like a whole other job. So people go, so Paul, so you're retired? I go, I don't think I am. I enjoy what I'm doing, but you can do it as a hobby because self-publishing can be accomplished with fairly little financial commitment. But if you want to sell the book and you want to make a second or third career out of it, it takes time. But it's your own time and it's just you and you don't have employees, you don't have payroll and you don't have office rent. So it's a great way to retire.
Well, congratulations. You've obviously set yourself up that you are able to indulge your passion for writing.
Yes, thank you.
And that's the whole thing about retirement. If we can work, figure it out and put ourselves in the right position, it is sometimes the only opportunity that we do give to be able to find ourselves, and you've done it. So that's amazing.
Thank you.
So what would you like to talk about now? Some painful lessons you learned in the business world that has helped you later on and benefited from.
Oh, painful lessons in the business world. I don't think you have enough time, but I'll pick a couple that pop into my mind. One would be the importance of communicating difficult subjects with your business partner. I had a business back from roughly 1996 through 2004. With a business partner, and our business arrangement ended terribly. We were not talking. We were not communicating. He was older than I was. He had different goals and desires than mine. And we ended up in a rather classic partnership meltdown. He left the company. I continued it. And it was very, very difficult. Things got ugly. I kept that business going. And then sold it in 2010. And I started another business. And next time around, and he was younger than me. And we sat down and we had all of the painful conversations up front at the very beginning when everything was roses. Everything was going to be great. And we discussed everything. What happens if one of us wants to retire? What happens if one of us wants to leave early? How are we going to do this? And we went through a lot of work on the front end, understanding how we would bury this company, so to speak, or divide it up. Mm-hmm. And then about 5 to 6 years later, that's exactly what happened. I was ready to move on. He wanted to continue in the business. And we had a blueprint in front of us. And our business separation went very smoothly. There were a few bumps along the way, but it's impossible not to have a few. But we are still friends today, and he's still doing well at the business. So that was a very painful one. But I was happy that the second time around, having learned, bad news is best delivered early. Transparency is important. Have all those conversations on the front end if you can.
And did you find that by having this level of detail, knowing that that was important, this has helped you in your writing career as well?
I've tried to use it in some characters. And in my book, I have, you know, the characters are, of course, just all created, but you meet people along the way and you go, oh, I remember that about so-and-so. So yes, I have a character in the book who has, he's a minor character, and he emphasizes the importance of listening. And he's sort of the sounding board for Monty, the main character. Monty needs a place where he can go and just unload and talk and know he's in a safe place. And so I have a character and they meet in a bar and they're able to just, he knows this is a safe place and he can just get everything out on the table. So I incorporate some of those life lessons, I guess, you know, into the storyline.
Okay. And you call yourself a Southern storyteller. So what's so fascinating about the South that has inspired you to write this novel?
Well, you know, I did grow up here, and the South, each region of the country has its own personality. And I think the personality in the South, it's the oldest personality this country has. I guess you could say the Northeast might be the oldest, but and the Northeast has a definite personality to it. But when you're raised in the South, you know, I like to say that, you know, in most parts of the country, it's considered rude to talk about politics and religion. Well, in the South, if you don't talk about politics and religion, you're kind of left out of the conversation. So there's a way of doing things here. There's the food. Is part of the culture, and there's a whole experience around the type of food and what the big meal is. And of course, the agrarian community, having its roots in an agricultural community, carries over today. Of course, the South is changing. It's not as rural as it used to be, but I find a lot of the traditions around, you know, Saturday college football, Friday night high school football, you know, family reunions and going to church on Sunday. A lot of these traditions, you know, carry on even into the younger generations.
Mm. So I gather you've got a bit of a thriller here with the name of the book, Blood in the Low Country. It's very intriguing. It's a very catchy title.
Yeah, thank you. The Low Country is the area along the coast of the Carolinas and Georgia, and you know, sort of, I guess you could take it to the northern tip of Florida, but by and large, it's the coast of the South Carolina and Georgia, and it's low country. It is sea level, a lot of marsh, a lot of seagrass, and so that term refers geographically to this part of the country. Blood. Yes, there is a murder. There's a murder mystery, but we picked the word blood because it's sort of a double meaning, blood being family as well as blood being blood that was spilled when a person was killed in the book. So blood in the Low Country refers to the family. There's a couple of families in the book that we meet and what happens to these families when a murder in their small community, you know, turns the lives of several families upside down. And then what happens is they have the hunt for the real killer.
Sounds fascinating. And I was having a look on your website. It is available in audio as well. So that will be very helpful for the people that can't buy the physical book.
Right. The audio book became available late February of this year. It became available in print and on your Nook or Kindle or iPad, whatever, last September. And then I set about having the audiobook produced. And you know, there are several very reputable companies that will help you through this. And they'll bring forward actors for you. And those actors will read a few pages of your book. And you get to hear them. And then you can say, oh, I want so-and-so to narrate the book. And it was fun hearing the book read back and hearing how they emphasized certain words And the person who read our book just did a great job. I think I asked him to record like maybe one or two paragraphs that I thought he missed on it. That was it. So he did a really great job and it was fun.
That's fascinating. Now, before we finish up, would you like to give some words of wisdom to other would-be writers out there? What have you learned? Some tips?
Okay. So if someone is contemplating doing this, I'll share with them the advice that was the best advice I received. My wife and I, we were here in Charleston and we were meeting some new people, and I had just started writing the book and I was greatly frustrated. Nothing was working. I just really didn't know how to start a book, how to go about this. And we were introduced to a couple and we had dinner with them, and they had recently retired to Charleston from California, and he had been a film editor. So he knew a great deal about storytelling. And so he said, "Paul, what's your book about?" And I tried to explain. And he said, "Stop trying to write the book from beginning to end. Just write. Just sit down and write and stitch it together later. If you have a scene in mind, write it. Just write." So I went to, there was a library in Charleston that I would go and sit at, and I would do my work. And I sat down, turned my laptop on, and I just started writing. And he was absolutely right. Once I freed myself from the burden of trying to write a book from beginning to end, and I just started writing, I felt I was free to just be more creative, knowing that some of the words I would throw away, some of the words I would keep and rewrite and re-edit. But when I get stuck today, that's still what I do. I go back and I just start writing. And kind of once I'm into the second paragraph, it starts to happen. And then I stitch it together later. You know, like last week, I scribbled out about four scenes. I don't know where they're going to go, but I know they're important to the story. So that advice worked greatly for me.
Okay, so you're talking about a second book there?
That is correct. Working on the second book that will be somewhat of a sequel to the first book.
So that's a way to go, to keep having a series, I suppose. What do they call it?
Yeah, I don't know. I call it a series. That works for me. People read for a variety of reasons. And I think for fiction, people read to escape by and large. And so they want to read something that takes them someplace. And that could be geographically or back in time or just to a different life than their own. So I'm creating a world, so to speak. The books are set in Charleston, or at least in the South, and they revolve around a cast of characters. The next book isn't the same protagonist. The next book is another character from this group, and we learn more about him. So instead of having a recurring character, I'm trying to put together a series of books around a group of people and how their lives come together and crisscross, et cetera. So it won't be one character. It'll be a cast of characters and hopefully a series of books about them.
Well, that sounds absolutely wonderful. So you're setting yourself up for more enjoyable writing to keep you occupied for a few years by the sound of all that.
Correct. Yes, it will keep me. Yeah. Given how long it takes to write these, I know what I'm doing for the next year.
Do you think you'll get faster at it as you produce your next one?
Yes, I believe so. I've written, and my wife is my first reader, and I handed to her what should be about 15 to 20% of the book, and she read through it, and she said, "This is very close to being ready to publish." So having gone through it once, just even little things like how to format the book, my grammar is getting better, just all the little things that we had to fix during the editing process, I'm better equipped to fix them. So mechanically, I think it will come together faster. And yes, now that I've done it once, I have more confidence as to how the story needs to come together. You still have to wait for the creative spark and the inspiration and the ideas. So I can't schedule when that happens. But I do feel as if this book won't take as long as the first book.
Mm. Well, congratulations once again. It's terrific that you have been able to find your true passion eventually in retirement, and you have got something that you thoroughly enjoy doing. Well done.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Yeah. It's Ann Nelson signing off from the Retire Well, Retire Happy show. You've been listening to Paul Attaway, the Southern Storyteller, about his book, Blood on the Low Country, and he's writing a sequel. Where can the book be obtained, Paul?
Amazon, Barnes & Noble, those would be, you know, the audio book, wherever you buy audio books, you can find it. iTunes, Apple, Audible, there's so many platforms. For print, you can get it from Amazon, and then an electronic copy, you can get it at Amazon and also at Barnes & Noble.
And if someone wanted to find out more about you, where would they go?
My website, it's just my name, paulattaway.com. And that's my last name is Attaway. So paulattaway.com. If you're interested, you can email me. My Instagram page is listed there. I've written some blogs and short stories. Those are there as well.
All right. Thank you. It's been wonderful to meet you, and congratulations on your new career in retirement.
Thank you, Anne. Thank you very much. And to you as well.
Thank you.
You have been listening to the podcast show of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. For more information on the show's guests and being retirement ready, pop on over to my website, www.annnelson.com.au, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, be happy, stay healthy, and help somebody.